गौर प्रेमानंदे नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। इट सीम्स द रूम इज क्वाइट फुल, मे बी यू कैन कम फॉरवर्ड लिटिल बिट। You came from?
Yeah.
Sadhana. Yeah, right. I was wondering. Chatsuati?
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. When did you come?
Today.
And we'll stay here for a few days? You're comfortably situated? Yeah. Very good. And you just came from Bombay? Or? Oh, you've been to Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Hari Bol, how are you? Hare Krishna. So, Kamsa is dead. So, Kamsa had two wives, Asti and Prapti. They were the daughters of a very powerful king. And the name of the king is?
Jarasandha.
Is it? Very good. The name of the king was? Jarasandha. Jarasandha was very, very powerful. And when Asti and Prapti became widows, and they went to the father and reported, "Father, our husband died. He has been killed by Krishna." Jarasandha asked, "Who is Krishna?" He said, "He is a cowherd boy." He said, "A cowherd boy killed my son-in-law? Just a Vaishya dared to kill a Kshatriya?" Oh, I'm sorry, I was supposed to give the class in Hindi. Should I continue in English or? Maybe I can, yeah, because Bhati Gopal Prabhu is here. So, okay, Hindi. का जरूरत किसका है? कौन अंग्रेजी नहीं समझेंगे? अच्छा, तो जो अंग्रेजी नहीं समझेंगे आप इस साइड में आ जाइए, एंड हु विल ट्रांसलेट? मुकुंद हिंदी से ट्रांसलेट कुछ न बांग्ला कुछ। आप लोग वहां चले जाइए, तुमने यदि की छोड़े जाओ ना, फिर आप यह बहुत जगह है, यहां तक यहां आ जाइए। मे बी आई शुड हैव गिवन द क्लास डाउनस्टेयर्स। Champieri, you don't need English translation, so you're doing Hindi translation, right? Because I am speaking in English. Mataji, jo matao Hindi ka zarurat hai, aap wahan baith jaiye. I'm seeing, how many of you came from South Africa? Okay, very good. And a group of six?
Eight.
Oh, yeah, okay, okay. So, you're just one family?
One family.
Right. Huh? You're doing the parikram together. Very good. Oh, did you do the Vrindavan parikrama? Govardhan? Very good. Special garland. Nitai Chandra Prabhu. Where is Nitai Chandra? Oh, Nitai Chandra. Hare Krishna. So Asti and Prapti, two wives of Kamsa, went crying to their father, Jarasandha. And when Jarasandha found out that a cowherd boy has killed his Kshatriya son-in-law, he became very upset. He said, they want to see the abode of Jamaraj. That's why they dared to do such a thing. They dared to kill my son-in-law. So he said, okay, arrange the army. And he called all his other friendly kings, and they decided to attack Mathura. They had a huge army, 23 Akshohini army. So with that entire army, he went and sieged Mathura. Ugrasen became very worried. What will happen now? Ugrasen, Krishna made Ugrasen the king. And in the meantime, Krishna came here. Krishna came to Avanti, this very particular place, very place, this place, Avanti. The original name of this city is Avanti. Ujjain, the name Ujjain came later. So, he came to the ashram of Sandipani Muni and he stayed here, Krishna and Balaram, for 64 days. And in these 64 days, they mastered 64 arts. And Sandipani Muni could recognize that Krishna and Balaram were the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Sandipani Muni also has another relationship with Krishna. Sandipani Muni's mother is Purnamasi, Yogamaya. And Sandipani Muni's father, when he took Banaprastha, then Purnamasi also wanted to retire from family life. And she went to Vrindavan. From Avanti, she went to Vrindavan. And Sandipani Muni had two sons and one daughter. The elder son died. He drowned in the river. And his younger son was Madhu Mangal, and his daughter was Nandimukhi. So Sandipani Muni sent his son and daughter to take care of his mother in Vrindavan. So that is how, when Krishna came to perform his pastimes in Vrindavan, Purnamasi was there along with Madhu Mangal and Nandimukhi. Nandimukhi became one of the associates of Srimati Radharani, and Madhu Mangal became a friend of Krishna. Madhu Mangal is famous for his jokes. Madhumangal is always there in Krishna's pastimes with Krishna. Madhumangal sometimes boasts to Krishna, "Krishna, see, I am a Brahmana and you are a Vaishya." Although sometimes some say that you are a Kshatriya, but still you are inferior to me. So you should be respectful to me, respectful towards me. So Krishna told him that, "Look, there are two considerations, janma and karma. But karma consideration is superior to janma. Because a man is recognized not, although to some extent, by his birth, but the actual recognition comes from his karma, his deeds. If somebody is born in a very exalted family, but if his activities are abominable, then he will not be respected. On the other hand, if a person is born in a low-class family, but if his deeds are illustrious, then he will be worshipped." So then Madhumangal said, "Fine, what do you want to mean actually? Do you want to mean that your deeds are so extraordinary that you are greater than me?" Krishna said, "Well, not that I am saying, but everybody else is saying that. So Madhumangal said, "So let's see, what's so great about you?" Krishna said, "See, when I was 7 days old, I killed Putana. When I was 1 month old, I killed Trinavarta. When I was 7 years old, I lifted Govardhan. When I was 6 years old, I subdued Kaliya." So Madhumangal started to laugh. Madhumangal's feature, he is very fat. And when he would get excited, he would make sound putting his hand. So Madhumangal started to laugh. Krishna said, "Why are you laughing?" Madhumangal said, "See, I told you, Krishna, you are so puffed up." You see, the real quality of a person is in his humble disposition. But you are so arrogant, you are so puffed up. You know, you always take the credit for yourself. You are saying that you killed Putana. You are 7 days old at that time. And everybody knows that the demigods actually give protection to the children and old people. So it is when Putana came, the demigods came and took care of Putana to say protect you. And you are saying you killed Putana. And you are saying that you lifted Govardhan. Everybody knew what the situation was. And Nanda Maharaj and Balaram and everybody started to prop. And then, it is because of that Govardhan was lifted up. But you want to take the credit only for yourself. Don't want to give any credit to anybody. And as far as Kaliya is concerned, everybody saw that you are dead in the coil of Kaliya. In the coil of Kaliya, you are finished. Seeing that, that all the residents of Vrindavan are practically going to give up their lives, Nanda Maharaj was about to jump into the river to deal with Kaliya, and Mother Jashoda fainted. All the gopis, they were just crying. And seeing that situation, seeing the condition of all these residents of Vrindavan, I felt so bad, I felt so bad. I felt that I must do something for you. And then I started to chant the Sarpa Nidhan mantra. The mantra that would kill the serpent, Sarpa. And it is because of my mantra that Kaliya became afraid and he let you go. And then you jumped up on Kaliya's head and started to dance as if you subdued Kaliya. So Krishna then said, "Oh, well, I'm so happy that you enlightened me with all this knowledge today. So please accept my humble obeisance." Bancha kalpataru. So in this way, Krishna used to have his very, very humorous pastimes with Madhu Mangal. Sometimes Krishna would have some, tease the gopis, and then they would run away. Sometimes they would steal flowers from the gardens of the gopis, and the gopis would chase them, and everybody would run away, but Madhu Mangal, because he was fat, he couldn't run that fast, so the gopis would catch him and tie him up to a tree and make fun of him. So in this way, Madhu Mangal had a very, very special role to play in Krishna's pastimes. And Nandi Mukhi was one of the intimate associates of Srimati Radharani. So anyway, Sandipani Muni had his mother and his son and daughter enter into Krishna's Braja Leela in this way. And Sandipani Muni was very learned, therefore Krishna and Balaram decided to study under his tutelage. Krishna and Balaram came here, studied under Sandipani Muni's tutelage, and then when they've completed their studies, then Sandipani Muni, Krishna and Balaram wanted to give Sandipani Muni the Guru Dakshina. So Sandipani Muni said, "Look, what do I need any dakshina from you? You came and gave us your association. That is my greatest gift." But Krishna insisted that, "Look, I studied under you, so I must give you the dakshina." So then Sandipani Muni said, "Go and ask my wife if she wanted anything." So Krishna and Balaram went to Sandipani Muni's wife, Guru Mata, and asked, "What can I offer you as dakshina? You took care of us so nicely, just like our mother." Then Sandipani Muni's wife told him that, "Look, if you really want to give me some dakshina, then bring back my son whom I lost." So Krishna and Balaram, Krishna then went into the ocean, deep down in the ocean, and rescued Sandipani Muni's son from Sankhasura, Panchajanna, and brought him back. So that is how Krishna gave his Guru Dakshina. So after that, when Krishna went back, then
Jarasandha attacked Mathura with 23 Akshauhini soldiers. They sieged. Ugrasena was afraid. All the Mathura Vasis were very afraid. Now, how, what to do? Our strength is so little. Kamsa, all Kamsa's associates and everybody has left. We don't have any soldier. We don't have any army. And Krishna then went to Balaram and told Balaram what to do now. They have come. Balaram said, don't worry. We know how to take care of them. But Krishna said, look, let's annihilate all the... We have come to Binashayacha Dushkritam. So let us use Jarasandha to gather all the Dushkritams. And Jarasandha will go collect all these soldiers, the Asuras, and we'll kill them. So don't kill Jarasandha. Let him... Because if Jarasandha is killed, then we have to go and kill all those demons. So let Jarasandha assemble all the demons. So that's how they made the plan. So Krishna and Balaram went and fought. Krishna took his four weapons. His karga, his sword, his Sudarshan Chakra, his Shranga bow, and Komadaki mace. And Krishna was fighting with four hands. So just Krishna and Balaram went and massacred the whole 23 Akshauhini soldiers. At the end, Jarasandha was just standing there. All the soldiers were dead, and many of them just ran away. Jarasandha was just standing there. So Balaram grabbed Jarasandha by his hair and brought him to Krishna. He said, Krishna, what to do with this guy, with this character now? Then Krishna said, let him go. But Jarasandha, although Krishna let him go, Jarasandha was so humiliated that Jarasandha decided that I won't go back to my kingdom. I would rather give up my life, but it is not good to commit suicide. So I'll just leave everything and I'll just keep wandering. But in this way, when Jarasandha was just wandering, all these kings who ran away, they came and consoled Jarasandha. Jarasandha, don't give up. A Kshatriya never gives up. He fights till the end. You have been defeated once, so what? Failures are the pillars of success. So, don't give up. We will help you to defeat. After all, these two boys, like, why are you afraid? After all, it is, you see, ultimately it's a matter of destiny. Those who are meant to die, they will die. And those who are meant to remain alive, they will remain alive. So, those who died, it is due to destiny they died. Not because of these two boys. And so then, in this way, Jarasandha was consoled. And Jarasandha was, he went back to his kingdom and he again gathered his army. Like, as Krishna already planned, Jarasandha will collect the all the souls, Asuras, bring them to Mathura, and Krishna and Balaram would annihilate them. In this way, Jarasandha attacked Mathura 17 times. And Krishna and Balaram defeated Jarasandha 17 times. Then one day, Jarasandha was sitting down, very depressed, that he cannot cope with these two boys, Krishna and Balaram. He couldn't understand how a cowherd boy can be so powerful. This is the materialistic vision they see from the external identity. But they fail to recognize the actual position of these two personalities. Who are those two personalities? The Supreme Personality of God. So can anybody defeat the Supreme Personality of God? So then, on the 18th time, Shalva advised Jarasandha. Jarasandha, you see, it seems that we are not able to cope with Krishna Balaram. So there is a very powerful personality who is invincible even by demigods and the Danavas. He is practically immortal. So let us go and join hands with him. So Jarasandha asked, who is that? And Shalva said, his name is Kalajavana. So Kalajavana, so let us join hands with Kalajavana. And maybe together we will be able to deal with Krishna and Balaram. So Jarasandha said, go speak to Kalajavana and see if you join hands with us. Shalva went, and he went and reported to Kalajavana that this is the invitation from Jarasandha to join hands to defeat his enemy. What's the name of this enemy? Krishna and Balaram. Who are they? Some say they are sons of Vasudev, but some say that they are the sons of Nanda Ghosh. So when he heard Nanda Ghosh, he said, oh, he's a Vaishya. So why should I fight with a Vaishya? It's below my dignity. Even if I win, what will be the victory? What will be the credit? People will say, oh, he defeated a Vaishya. And that to two boys. He said, you ask Jarasandha to deal with him, deal with them himself. I am not, it's below my dignity. But then, Shalva went back and told Jarasandha, this is what happened. Then the demigods, they felt that somehow this Kalajavana has to be killed. Because Kalajavana is such a terrible demon that only Krishna can deal with him. Nobody else can. So they sent Narad Muni. Say, Narad Muni, you go and incite him to fight with Krishna. So Narad Muni then went to Kalajavana. So Kalajavana asked, oh, Narad Muni, please come, please take your seat. And he washed his feet and treated him very nicely. See, these demons are also respectful to the sadhus. As I told you this morning, the dacoits are also respectful to the sadhus in India. So this Kalajavana, Kalajavana asked Narad Muni, so Narad Muni, where were you? He said, you see, I'm just coming from Mathura. He said, oh, and what happened there? What are you doing there? He said, you see, the reason I came here, because I was feeling very bad. So he said, what happened? He said, you know, in Mathura I met these two boys, Krishna and Balaram. And they just told me, I was actually singing your glories to them. What a great hero you are. And they said, oh, Kalajavana. I can deal with him with my little finger. I don't have to even raise any weapon against him. Kalajavana said, they dare to speak like this? So Jarasandha also said, sent his men to join hands with him, and they dare to insult me like this? Okay, I will teach these boys some lesson. So then Jarasandha, Kalajavan, decided to attack Mathura. And he took 3 crores army with him. Army consisting of 3 crores. That means 30 million soldiers. And he decided to attack Mathura. So, in the meantime, the news reached Jarasandha also that Kalajavana is attacking Mathura with his full force. So, he also rushed to attack Mathura. So then Krishna and Balaram decided what to do. Like, they are coming with a joint army from Kalajavana will attack and from one side, and Jarasandha will attack from another side. So how we are going to deal with them? So it seems that the residents of Mathura are not safe. So let us take them to safety. So then Krishna called the god of ocean and said, so they immediately Ratnakar, the god of ocean, came, and with folded hands he asked Krishna, what can I do for you? Krishna said, in the middle of the ocean you create an island. And in that island we will create our capital. So ocean god said, sure, I'll do it. Immediately he went and created an island in the middle of the ocean. And then Krishna called Vishwakarma, and he instructed Vishwakarma to create a city there. So Vishwakarma immediately created a city. And then Krishna made all the residents of Mathura fly to Dwarka. Not in a 747. He actually made them fly in their sleep. So the residents of Mathura just woke up and they found themselves in a beautiful city in the middle of the ocean. And not only that, they found their names in front of different palaces. This is the palace of Ugrasen, this is the palace of Vasudev, and so forth. So this is how they just found their new residence. And Mathura was empty. So when Kalajavana came and attacked, Krishna and Balaram just decided to retreat. So they ran away. And Kalajavana ran after them. Kalajavana's entire army ran after them. And it seemed that they're just about to catch Krishna, but they just couldn't catch Krishna. And in this way, Krishna just went to the mountain, and Krishna just ran into the mountain. So the mountain was full of forest, so they couldn't find Krishna. And in this way they started to search. Kalajavana started to search for Krishna. And they went into different caves and started, but they couldn't find Krishna anywhere. Eventually they came to one cave, and inside the cave it was a little dark, and they found, Kalajavana found, that there was someone lying down, sleeping. So he thought, this must be Krishna. So he kicked him. and that person woke up. And as soon as the person looked at him, Kalajavan was burned to ashes. Who was that person? His name was Muchukanda. When Tarakasura attacked the heavenly planet, the demigods, becoming helpless, came to Muchukunda. Muchukunda was a king in the Ikshaku dynasty. Very powerful king. And he fought for the demigods and he drove the demons away from the heavenly planet. And the demigods requested him to stay in the heavenly planet until Kartikeya appeared and become their general. And they knew that this Kartikeya, who would be born from the potency of Lord Shiva, he would be able to kill Tarakasura. So they requested him to be in the heavenly planet until then and defend the heavenly planet. So Muchukunda accepted their offer, stayed in the heavenly planet for a long time defending them, and when Kartikeya appeared, then demigods told Muchukunda that he could go. But while Muchukunda was about to leave the heavenly planet, they were so pleased with him because they served them so nicely for so many years, they asked Muchukunda that, can you please ask for any boon? Muchukunda said that, see, after fighting for so many years constantly, my body is extremely tired. All I want now is to sleep. So please bless me that I can have uninterrupted sleep for a long, long time. And if anybody wakes me up, if anybody disturbs my sleep, then he'll be turned into ashes. So Krishna therefore made the arrangement that Kalajavana would come. He actually made Kalajavana come into Muchukunda, the cave where Muchukunda was sleeping, and got burnt into ashes. Then Krishna came to Muchukunda, and Muchukunda asked, "Who are you?" So Krishna told him, "I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So Muchukunda was very happy. He said, "My Lord, my life is now fulfilled. My mission of my whole life is accomplished. So now that I got your darshan," and Krishna blessed him, "then now you go travel to the places of pilgrimage all over India. And then at the end of your life, you will be blessed by me." So this is how Muchukunda was blessed by Krishna for his wonderful service that he rendered to him. So in the meantime, Krishna came out, and then he dealt with all the soldiers of Kalajavana and the soldiers of Jarasandha. So when Jarasandha was defeated 18 times, then he gave up. He didn't want to. And the way Krishna did that, Jarasandha actually... Krishna dealt with Jarasandha also in a very nice way. Jarasandha saw that Krishna actually was in the mountain, so he set the mountain in fire, thinking that now this is how he will burn Krishna to ashes. So when the fire came, what Krishna did? He jumped from the mountain top into the ocean, and then he came to Dwarka. So now Krishna one day received a letter from the princess of Vidarbha. Her name was Rukmini. Rukmini was extremely beautiful princess. Who is Rukmini? Rukmini is Mahalakshmi. Appeared to be, to partake part in the pastimes of our eternal Lord and Master, Krishna. So, Rukmini became of marriageable age and the father wanted to give her to a suitable husband. And so one day Narad Muni came to King Bhishmaka's palace and Bhishmaka was talking to him and he asked, can you please tell me who is a suitable match for my daughter? So Narad Muni said, it is Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. And he started to speak about Krishna, about Krishna's beauty, Krishna's strength, Krishna's opulence, Krishna's fame, Krishna's wisdom, and Krishna's renunciation. And just by hearing about Krishna, Rukmini just fell in love with Krishna. Rukmini felt that this is my husband. I am not going to accept anyone else. Now, in the meantime, Rukmini's brother, Rukmi, who was very demoniac, he wanted to marry Rukmini to Shishupal, a demon. So the arrangement was made that there would be a Swayambara. And in that Swayambara, the bride would select the groom. And so when this arrangement was going on, Rukmini felt that I have already given up my life to Krishna. How can I offer it to anybody else? My heart already has been offered to him. So in this heart I cannot accept anybody else. Therefore, she wrote a letter to Krishna expressing the condition of her heart and gave it to a Brahmana and told the Brahmana to go to Dwarka and give this letter to Krishna. So now the arrangement was being made just the day before. And Rukmini was just the day before the Swayambara and the day before her wedding. And she was in anxiety. What happened? Did the Brahmana reach Dwarka? Did he manage to give the letter to Krishna? If Krishna doesn't come, then what will happen to me? Maybe if Krishna doesn't come, I'll give up my life. So Rukmini was thinking that way. And at that time, this Brahmana just arrived. And he told that he gave the letter to Krishna. And Krishna gave the assurance that he would come. So Rukmini was at least somewhat consoled. And Rukmini felt so happy that she felt that she wanted to give some gift to the Brahmana, but she felt what gift she could give. So she told the Brahmana that all I can offer you as an expression of my heartfelt gratitude is my humble obeisances to you. Saying that, she offered her obeisances. So the Brahmana was a little disappointed. He thought that I executed such a difficult task, and I thought that the princes would reward me in a wonderful way, and all she offered me is just some humble obeisances. Anyway, ultimately it's all a matter of destiny. But when he came to his house, he was surprised. He saw there is a big palace. And he started to wonder whether some body has destroyed his hut and built a house there, occupied his property. That palace was built of, made of gold. And he was so he was in such great anxiety. Then he saw that his wife is coming out from the house, dressed up in the most gorgeous way, surrounded by hordes of maidservants. And she came and she told that all of a sudden, her hut meant turned into this golden palace. And all these attendants and servants and maidservants just appeared. So the Brahman could understand it was due to the mercy of the princes. So in the meantime, all the kings, the demoniac kings, assembled in the house of Rukmini, house of Rukmini's father, palace of Rukmini's father, in order to win Rukmini over. And Rukmini was wondering what would happen. Then all of a sudden, Krishna just came right there. And he just took Rukmini by her hand, pulled her into, when Rukmini was going to the temple, Krishna kidnapped Rukmini. All the kings attacked, but Krishna single-handedly defeated. In the meantime, Balaram came and joined Krishna. So Krishna defeated all the kings along with their army. Then finally it was Rukmini attacked Krishna. So Krishna released 22 arrows. With 8 arrows he killed the horses. With 4 arrows he pierced the chest of Rukmini. With 6 arrows he severed the head of the chariot driver, and with the other 4 he broke the chariot. So then Rukmini's associates brought another chariot. Krishna did the same thing to him, broke that chariot and killed the horses and the chariot driver. And then finally Rukmini became so upset, he took the mace and he came to charge, he came rushing towards Krishna. Then Krishna with 3 arrows he cut the mace, and then Rukmini was just standing there, so Krishna just pulled him up in the chariot, tied him up with the pole, on the pole, and he said, just let Balaram come and in his presence I'll sever your head. So Rukmini begged Krishna, please let my brother go, please don't kill my brother. So in the meantime, Balaram came, and so finally it was decided that they will shave Rukmini's head and create 5 tufts, 5 shikhas on his head. And so that is how Rukmini was humiliated. Shaving the head for a kshatriya means killing. Instead of cutting the head, they could have cut the head, but by due to their mercy, due to their compassion, they didn't cut the head, they just severed the head. Shaved the head instead of severing the head. So in this way Rukmini was insulted. So, and Rukmini was won by Krishna, and he came, brought her back to Dwarka, and there Ugrasen made the arrangements for his wedding. One illustrious, in this way Krishna got married to 8 different princesses. Next one was Satyabhama, then it was Jambavati, and then one very special one was Mitravrinda. And Mitravrinda was from Avanti. The king of Avanti was Vinda Anuvinda, and their sister was Mitravrinda. And it was decided that she would be holding a Sayambara. So all the kings assembled, all the kings assembled there in the Sayambara, and in order to win Mitravrinda, because she was celebrated for her beauty all over the world. And so the kings assembled, and Mitravrinda, with the garland in hand, she was supposed to offer the garland and accept that one of the kings as her husband. And so at that time she just held the garland while all the kings were hoping that she would, that he would be the one on whom she would place the garland. But Mitravrinda just closed her eyes and she started to pray to the Lord. "My Lord, I accepted you as my husband. So tell me, what should I do now? In this extremely precarious condition, when I'm forced to accept my husband, someone as my husband, what should I do?" At that time, Krishna with his disc covered the sun. With the Sudarshan Chakra, he covered the sun and it became dark everywhere. And everyone lost his consciousness, as if they all fell asleep. And Krishna just picked up Mitravrinda into the chariot. He came there along with Satyaki and Uddhava. And he drove the chariot. And in the meantime, all the kings woke up. And they found the princess is gone. So they started to wonder, what happened? Some thought that this must be Indra. Because this is how he steals the horses of the Ashwamedh Yajna many times. And now he is stealing the princess. So let's go and attack Indra. And Krishna already, in the meantime, drove to some distance. And then Krishna consulted with Uddhav. "Hey Uddhav, it doesn't look nice that we are running away with the princess as if we are stealing her, as if we are afraid of them. So let's go back and face them." So Krishna then drove the chariot back into where all the kings were. And he fought with them, defeated all of them. Vinda and Anuvinda fell at Krishna's feet and begged for his mercy. They were happy that Mitravrinda was married to Krishna. So in this way Krishna got married to 8 princesses. And then there was a Narakasura. This Narakasura kidnapped 1,000 princesses and kept them captive. And Krishna went and killed Narakasura and rescued all these princesses. 1,000 princes. I'm sorry, 16,000 princes. So these princes then, when they were rescued by Krishna, they said, look, who will marry us? Because we have been kidnapped by this Narakasura and we are kept captive in his prison. So no one will marry us. Now since you rescued us, please marry us. So in this way, Krishna got married to 16,108 queens. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande. So there is a question here, let's see. Rochi Bhupal Base. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Who is Rochi? He called, yeah, wrote from Bhupal. I wish to know, what should he learn by seeing how wonderfully Krishna protects his devotees? How can we use it to intensify our bhakti? Yeah. Like, bhakti means dependence upon Krishna. And when we see how wonderfully Krishna protects his devotees, then we should also surrender ourselves to Krishna. We should, from this example that Krishna is citing, we should learn to surrender ourselves to Krishna and become free from anxiety that Krishna will protect. So why should we worry? Otherwise, in the material nature, we are always in worry. We are always in anxiety. What will happen? What will happen? If the war breaks out, what will happen? If the terrorists come, what will happen? We live in constant anxiety. But when we depend upon Krishna, when we surrender to Krishna and become a devotee of Krishna, then we become free from anxiety. Because we know if we become a devotee of Krishna, Krishna will protect under all circumstances. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Yes, Krishna Chan. What's that?
The princes.
Yeah, the kings and princes. Yeah.
Who came? They fought with Krishna, not knowing that he was Supreme Personality of God. So they weren't demons as such, but because of their ignorance or because of their natural Kshatriya spirit, they fought. But somehow they turned to be once and enemies of Krishna because they were fighting against Krishna.
Yeah, but we have to remember that that time most of the kings and princes were demoniac. Most of them. And those who are not demoniac, when they saw Krishna, they felt extreme delight. Oh, here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and surrendered to him. Like there was a king called Kaushik. I didn't get into the detail. You see, Bhishmaka had one consideration, that how could he offer his daughter to someone who is not a prince or a king? Because his father was not a king, he himself was not a king. So when Kaushik got to know that he was a king, he offered his kingdom to Krishna. So not that all the kings were demoniac, there are some other kings, and those who are divine, those who are devotees, they immediately accepted Krishna. Okay, there was another hand at the back. Yes?
Thank you so much. When we chant, then what do I say, that Hare Krishna or Hare Krishna?
When we chant.
Hare Krishna or Hare Krishna?
Oh, Hare Krishna or Hare Krishna? What do you say? Okay, that's fine. Yes, Dhanashri. Whose father? Bhishmaka. King Bhishmaka. Yes. That bhaja hure mana, meaning telling the intelligence, you control my mind and always engage in Krishna, serving Krishna. You see, intelligence is the faculty that controls the mind. Right? Mind generally tries to go to the objects of the senses. But intelligence, right intelligence, Krishna conscious intelligence, Buddhi Yoga, brings the mind to Krishna's lotus feet. That is the purpose of intelligence. But the material intelligence says, okay, mind, you want to enjoy through sense gratification? So you want to enjoy through the sense gratification? So I am there to help you. Do this, do that. This is how you make all the arrangements for sense gratification. Right? So that is the purpose of intelligence. That's why manasastu para buddhi. Intelligence is superior to the mind. Intelligence, because it's superior, it dictates the mind, dominates the mind. But the real intelligence brings the mind to Krishna. Yamuna Priya?
I have two small questions. One was, you mentioned Krishna fought with his four hands in the battle, and he had four weapons. You mentioned Sudarshan Chakra, mace, and then you said two other names. Could you explain
what that is? Mace is Komodaki, his sword, and his bow. Bow, sword, mace, and disc. Right? This way it seems he just holds the bow and the arrows keep shooting out of it. Or we have to understand, you see, for Krishna everything is possible, right? So what actually happens, he's not using the sword all the time. When he's fighting with the arrow, the sword is in the seed. So he's using that hand to use the arrow. Yeah, Jarasandha became very puffed up. Now I have defeated him. This is the first time Jarasandha could defeat. No, Krishna ran away. So Jarasandha, you see, Jarasandha was not meant to be killed by Krishna. That's why Krishna didn't kill him. Jarasandha also has a history. Should I go into that? Okay, briefly. I'll just go into that and then I'll end the class. This king, I'm forgetting his name. Does anybody remember the name of Jarasandha's father? Brihadbhanu. Yeah, right. Brihadbala. King Brihadbala didn't have any son. So once a great sage came near his kingdom, so he approached the king, the king approached the sage and expressed his agony for not having a child. So the sage told him, okay, take this mango, give it to your wife, and he'll get a child. So King Brihadbala had two wives, and he was equally disposed to both of them. So he cut the mango into half and gave it to his two wives. And in due course of time, both the wives became pregnant. And when they gave birth to half of a body. So, and both the bodies were lifeless. It's just half the body. So, that was thrown away. And at night, there is a demoness called Jara. While roaming around, she came across this, two halves of her body. And she was very happy that she got some nice food to eat. And playfully, she just put both the halves together, and it came to life and started to cry. So Jara felt that our king doesn't have any child, so let me go and give it to him. And she placed the baby, who was crying, in front of the king's room. And the king came out and he found that the baby, that two halves that his two wives gave birth to, are alive now. So, and because Jara put them together, that's why he got the name Jarasandha. So Krishna knew that Jarasandha is invincible. And main thing is that Jarasandha was not meant to be killed by him. So when Yudhishthir Maharaj wanted to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, then he consulted with Krishna. And Krishna told him, look, in Rajasuya, to perform Rajasuya sacrifice, you have to bring all the kings under your control. Now your biggest impediment will be Jarasandha, because he is not going to accept your authority. So kill Jarasandha before you perform sacrifice. And Jarasandha also kept 99 kings into captivity, and he was waiting for the last one. Then he would sacrifice 100 kings, and he would kill them, slaughter them and perform a sacrifice. So these 99 kings are in his prison. So if you release them by killing Jarasandha, then they will become your ally. So that will be a big help for your Rajasuya Yoga. So Yudhishthira Maharaj asked, how can we kill Jarasandha? He said, in battle you can't defeat Jarasandha. The only way Jarasandha can be killed is by a hand-to-hand battle, wrestling battle. And Bhim is his match. So let us go. So Krishna took Bhim and Arjun, dressed up as Brahmana, three of them went to Jarasandha. And then they suggested, Jarasandha was very pious. When a Brahmana came and asked him something, then Jarasandha never refused the Brahmana. So we can see how these demons are also so pious, because they knew the piety is the way to get what you want. So they arrived from the back gate, not in the front gate. So anyway, when they came, he was very respectful, seeing them as Brahman. And he asked, please tell me, what can I do for you? Then he said, look, my brothers, they have taken the vow of silence until midnight. They don't speak during the day, only after midnight they speak. So you come to our room at midnight, and then my brothers will tell you what they want. So at midnight, Jarasandha came. They tell me, what can I offer you? And Krishna said, we want to fight. So he asked, I'm not your enemy. We don't have anything against you. I never did anything against you. So why do you want to treat me? Why do you consider me to be an enemy? And besides that, you came instead of front gate, you came at the back gate, which is an indication. Only an enemy comes through the back gate. A friend comes from the front gate. So he said, you are our enemy because you have kept so many kings into captivity and you are planning to sacrifice them, slaughter them in a sacrifice. That's why we consider you to be our enemy. So this is how they... So Jarasandha said, okay, fine, tomorrow we'll fight. And they fought non-stop for days together. And then finally Krishna indicated to Bhima to split his body. He took a piece of grass and just split the grass. So Bhima got the message. So he pressed Jarasandha's foot with one, his leg with one foot, and with the hand he grabbed the other foot, other leg, and he just split the body. And that's how Jarasandha was killed. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Okay. Another question here. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Should we distribute Krishna book while going for book distribution? Dandavat Pranam, Ankit Bora. Yeah, very nice. Do distribute books. Distribute books. Distribute books. Yeah. He's in America now. Okay. Very good. Thank you, Ankit. Yes, distribute Krishna books. The Krishna books are the most wonderful gift of Srila Prabhupada, which is actually the pure nectar of Krishna's pastime. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare. What happened?
Guru, as you told that Kalyaman was invisible for that demigods and demons both, they could fight in the space.
Who could? Kalyaman. He could, yeah.
Yeah, he has got any boon from Lord Shiva.
Yeah. he became invincible to everyone in a battle. That's why he could be only killed by the glands of Muchukanda. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Go. So everyone become very good devotees. Good devotee means completely surrendered to Krishna and always trying to please Krishna and his devotees. The best way to please Krishna is by pleasing Krishna's devotees. So become very good devotees. Create a very nice atmosphere in this place, in the city of Ujjain, so that when the devotees come, like today so many devotees came from South Africa. And what kind of impression you want to give them? That you should give them such a wonderful impression that they will think, we don't want to go back to South Africa. We just want to stay here. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. You were in Mayapur before, right? Before. Okay. 2001 you came. Right. Yeah. Yes. Very happy to see you all. Hare Krishna. So you are comfortably situated here? The rooms are okay? The beds are comfortable? Did you take prasad? If there is any difficulty, if you need anything, please tell the devotees. Subhananda is in charge of the guest house. Yeah. He's a good boy. Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande Hare. Come here.